Welcome to the Mostly Puttered at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 134 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. To celebrate the month of February, we're having a two-episode Valentine's Day spectacular. I know you're very excited about this. You've been chomping at the bit for months waiting for this to happen. So prepare yourself for candy boxes full of body parts and terrible Valentine's Day murder poems, because there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Because we're diving right in. We're doing My Bloody Valentine, the original, the 1981 original, and the remake, 2009. And then we're also doing the movie Valentine from 2001, one of the glorious PG-13 2000 era horror films.
Yeah.
That made me rethink the genre at the time. So, all right, I guess we'll start with My Bloody Valentine. Well, I guess just a note, I haven't seen any of these before. So.
Until this episode, yes.
Well, now I've seen them all, but previous to this, I have not seen any.
For shame.
But,
you did miss out.
1981 one, I was like, again, we talked about this earlier. It was like, I saw it, like, I knew of its existence for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I would look at it and I'd be like, what does a fucking minor have to do with Valentine's Day? And it just short circuited my brain. And I'm like, I don't like that. Like, that doesn't go together at all. Like, I didn't understand it. I never saw, like, a trailer. Because obviously it's 1981. Then, you know, you don't see trailers for for those movies when they're older. I was like, it never made sense to me. And I just kind of like, but no, I don't want that. But then recently I put it on my list. I know we talked about it a little bit. This is the last movie on my list of old movies to watch. So
sweet.
Now I'm done. Well, we're done with that list. I have multiple other lists we're going through. We will start with 1981, My Bloody Valentine. Now, it starts off kind of with the backstory here, right?
Mm-hmm.
The backstory is there is a minor named Harry Warden who they have this big Valentine's Day dance in their town. It's like the big, you know, every town has their like big event, you know, whatever. Right. This is their big event. This is this Valentine's Day dance. The whole town goes. So there was the mine is like, you know, all the people in the town work in the mine. So the two supervisors that were supposed to be watching like the last few guys down in the mine decided, you know what? They're fine. We're going to cut out, go to this party. Right.
Let's go dance or not.
Right.
Cares
yeah.
Away.
So the supervisors cut out. They go to the big party and the guys that were down in the mine, of course, hit like a methane pocket that explodes and they get buried down there. And then Harry Warden, it took them, they said weeks, right? Weeks yeah. to get him out.
Yeah.
And then when they finally got him out, Harry Warden was the only survivor and he had had to eat the other people to stay alive down there.
Yes.
And because of that, I think it was like, the next year, I think, he went on a murder rampage and killed the supervisors that, you know, left and left them down there. And then all the people that he felt were responsible for his death. And then they supposedly, you know, took him away. They committed him to an insane asylum and he just left.
Little did we know this is a prequel to Footloose. That's why the town can't dance.
Right. So this is, yeah, then we get the whole 20 years later. So that apparently happened in 1961. 20 years later, they haven't had a Valentine's Day dance for 20 years.
I thought it was 10.
That's the second film.
Okay.
The 2009 one is 10. This one is 20.
Okay.
So... because in the 2009 one of the characters was in the mine. So if they went 20 years in the future, he would be old. So they had to go 10 years in the future so that his not changing in appearance at all is semi-explainable. That's gotcha. Why they, anyway, this one is 20 years. So the town has been too paranoid to do it because they're afraid of, like, you know, the ghost of Harry Warden's going to come back. And it was like a, you know, kind of like a shadow over their town. So they decided not to do it. Well, this is the year they're doing it again, right? The big Valentine's Day dance is coming back. Everybody's excited. All the miners are drinking and being wacky. I don't think I really need to single out any of the miners. There's really only three people that kind of sort of matter that aren't just like cannon fodder. Okay. One is the owner of the mine's son.
Yes.
Had left to go find himself in California and failed miserably and had to come crawling back to his dad. So now he's back working in the mine. He had left a girl behind. And she didn't write, didn't talk to her. It's not, they don't really say how long he was gone, but it was years.
Right.
So didn't write, didn't call, nothing. So she started dating this other guy. The other guy's like the foreman that kind of took over when he left. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the mine foreman. I mean, same age, mine foreman that took over when he left and also took over his lady friend when he left. Right.
Well, of course. So, she comes with the position.
Right. Yeah. It's like inherited. Inherited lady. So she is with him now. He is the foreman. He's very upset that he came back and is trying to, one, take his job back, and two, take his lady back. Okay, so there's like friction between them. The rest of them are just like wacky, drunken hijinks kind of people.
It does ruffle his ascot.
Yes, for sure. And they're very Canadian.
Yes,
they're all drinking moose heart, and there's lots of sorries and a boots.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all partying, and then people start dying. Right. So there's in the very beginning, there's like a lady. They were going to like get it on in the mine. It was just there to like probably put on posters or like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It was like a sexy lady in a mining outfit. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes, the very first scene with the woman that gets impaled, and then this scene is in the trailer. Like that was explicitly made for the trailer.
Like you can tell by looking at it. It doesn't really have a connection to the rest of the film at all.
No,
but it's there. So that lady gets killed. Her like heart gets put in a heart box and delivered to the sheriff, you know, saying like, oh, if you have the party, you know, Harry's coming back to kill everybody.
Right.
And so the cop is kind of like, oh, this is messed up. Somebody's messing with us. But he's like, we'll kind of keep going anyway. The mayor's like, oh, no, it's still happening. Keep it under wraps. There's a lady who's like head of the dance committee who runs a laundry who gets murdered.
Poor Mabel.
Yeah. And put in the dryer and apparently cooked.
Yeah.
In the dryer. So we get the scene of her like cooked corpse coming out of the dryer. At that point, the cop is like, okay, we got to shut it down. Right. You know, like people are dying. Like this is going to get worse. We need to shut the whole thing down. So he shut the whole thing down.
It's because he was afraid that he was going to get some and now he couldn't. So that's why he shut it down.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, you know, okay. Now nobody should die now. Right. Because the dance is shut down. So the miners are all like, well, fuck that. We want a big party. Let's just go party in the mine, right? Because they have they have like a lunchroom. I mean, they had like, it would look like a diner attached to the mine. So yeah, it makes sense to have the party where they started the party because they had like a built-in, like, you know, industrial kitchen and like a pool table and a jukebox, like all that. Like it was a party place.
Yes.
So they're all partying and drinking and, you know, whatever as young miners do, I guess. And then the girls get drunk and they're like, let's go in the mine. So they all decide to, like, go down in the mine. Not everybody, but, like, I don't know, what, 10 people or something.
Nothing screams sexy than a dirty, filthy mine with oxygen required.
Yeah, let's go down. Let's go down in the mine. So they, like, take the little cart all the way down in the mine. And then there's a bunch of people that stay up. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, murder starts. Right.
Yes.
So a guy gets his head like boiled with the hot dogs in the kitchen and he gets stuffed in the freezer. There's a guy and a girl that were going to get it on. The guy like leaves to go get beer and then she gets like impaled on a sprinkler shower.
Yes.
And then the guy comes back and he's like, oh my God, people are dying. And so, you know, they're getting all murdered and shit. And then the people down in the mine start getting fucking murdered. there's a couple of scenes where I was fucking confused as to what was going on. Like, there's one scene I'd watch it like four times. Because, like, the doofy guy runs away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's never mentioned where he goes or what happens to him. But later on, when they're going up that ladder, a random body falls down. I think that was him.
Yes, that was Howard, yes.
Because it's headless.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no idea who it is. And they never comment on who it is.
Correct.
But as soon as that body falls, they all go back down the ladder. It's a very odd scene. I had to watch it multiple times. Like, what the fuck is happening here? What is this scene supposed to be doing? The class clown
Howard got killed.
Right, yeah. So anyway, yeah. So basically it gets down to, of course, the three, the love triangle, right, is basically mm-hmm. what it gets down to. And they're all running through the fucking mine. And then it comes like a standoff thing. Right, so where the miner guy is chasing them around, blah blah blah. He's, you know, classic scenes of him like smashing the lights with his pickaxe while he's chasing them around in his like breathing mask thing. So everybody's kind of dead. The cop guy is trying to find out what asylum Harry Warden got locked up in, and he's calling all these people like, well, we never heard of him, we don't know where it is. This is obviously the days of paper records when nobody could find shit. And they're like,
he dead,
right? Yeah. So they basically find out that Harry Warden has been dead for years.
Mm-hmm.
Not 20 years, but like 5 years, let's say.
Right.
So he's been dead, so this is not Harry Warden that's killing people. It's got to be somebody else. So, the police, you know, they get a call of like, oh, people are being murdered in the mine. And he's like, oh, my God, they're having a party in the mine. Of course, he's upset about Valentine's parties. So he and all the police go to get to the mine and, of course, show up like all the way at the fucking end mm-hmm. of the film. So anyway, so there's a big kind of standoff where we get the miner's son and his, I guess, now one lady friend, I guess she officially switched over to his side, is fighting the crazy miner guy, who we then find out is the jerk foreman guy. Oh, what a shock.
Yeah.
So they fight and kind of duel it out, and then there's like a cave-in thing, and then the cops finally show up. And so the cops finally show up and like shoot at him, but they can only see him like through the rubble. And you can see like his one arm is like, I don't know, ripped off, it looks like.
Yeah, it is.
But he's like still running and limping and giggling and laughing and getting away. And that's literally the end of the film.
Well, you see, why he became the crazed miner is because Harry killed his dad.
Well, yeah, he was the son of one of the supervisors.
Yep.
So the two supervisors that left early to go to the party, he felt was the reason for him dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had witnessed Harry Warden killing his supervisor dad. He was like under the bed. Yeah. And so apparently that made him have flashbacks. And he
hated dancing so much.
Yeah.
That he decides to carry on Harry's legacy.
Right. So yeah, that's why he hates Valentine's. And that's why he sends terrible heart-shaped boxes with real hearts in them with really bad like puns.
Yeah.
There was only a couple of them, but they were pretty funny.
Yep.
But that's it.
Yeah, so I mean, this is your first time seeing him, so what was your kind of your first thought? Do you understand why there's a minor with Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I guess it makes sense now, kind of. Like, I don't know why they had to put those two things together, but okay. I get it. I mean, it was all right. I mean, it's not bad as far as like early 80s slashers go, but it's not like my favorite or anything.
Let alone a Canadian slasher.
Yeah. I mean, again, that was interesting. They were like, oh, give me a moose head. I was like, was this in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, sorry. Like, it is Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the real twist. A Canadian serial killer.
Right. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I mean, that's it. It's kind of like it's like a formulaic slasher, you know, mm-hmm. with the twist reveal. I mean, there's how many of those, right?
Especially in 1981, we had, you know, Black Christmas, you know, Friday the 13th, and one Halloween. There wasn't much of a formula that you could follow. So you're able to do anything wacky you want. Like, we have access to a mine, perfect.
Yeah, let's again, you think of like what's scary, right? A miner in like their full respirator with a pickaxe. Golden. Put it on the cover.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with Valentine's Day? Doesn't matter.
We'll make it. How? Yeah,
do
hearts.
It.
Candy.
Yeah, right.
Commercialization.
We'll don't worry about it. The magic of writing behind the curtain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, I've seen all of these. This one I've seen the least amount of times. But I, you know, as anyone that knows me knows that when like a remake is coming out, I have to go back and watch the original first. So when the Bloody Valentine 3D came out, I went back and watched this. And that was probably the first time, just because by the time I was going to the video store, I think this was well out of the mom and pop shops we grew up around.
It's very funny because the 2009 and the 1981, they literally use the same image.
Mm-hmm.
For the cover. So it's very hard to tell them apart. You have to like click on it and read the year because everything is exactly the same.
Sometimes it says 3D. If they're good enough at what they're doing, it says 3D.
I never saw anything that said 3D. Oh, okay. I figured out it was 3D while I was watching it. I'm like, oh, these fucking stupid shots. It's got to be 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But I did nothing that I found said 3D.
Yeah. Like I said, now this is My Bloody Valentine, everyone, like you said, everyone seems to know about it, but not many people have seen it, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, again, I knew of it. I mean, it had always been a friend. It's not like I didn't know this movie existed. I just, again, right. It just never made sense to me, and I never really cared to figure it out.
Right, it just kind of faded into, like, the obscure holiday slashers.
Right.
Do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
So I mean, like, miners in a mine, that's unique, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know of any other horror movies set in a mine. Or at least, you know, I mean, there's a couple of scenes in a mine, but never like the entire film in a mine.
Right.
I mean, early examples of killer POV, which is interesting, right? I mean, a lot of them were doing it around this time, but it was still fun. The killer poems, I was trying to remember them and write them down, and I did not. But I remember they were funny at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, mines are scary, right?
Yeah, I would not want to be trapped down there.
I mean, I don't think I have any dwarf blood because I'm, like, uncomfortable underground. So, like, I don't like it. But so to me, a mine is a scary thing. But, I mean, I guess not everybody. There's miners that do it for a living.
Right.
That's all I got.
For the practical effects we do see, not the off-screen kills, for a low-budget movie, it's not bad.
No, yeah. There's like one scene of like red paint blood. I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. But that was like the fake scene.
Yes.
Like all the real scenes like use like, you know, standard Savini formula blood. So it's interesting.
Right. So, I mean, you can, especially this time era, you can generally tell when things are bad effects, but I think they actually spent a good budget on the practical effects for it. So I give them kudos for that.
Yeah. I mean, like the lady coming out of the dryer that took some work.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious when the bartender's like, I'm going to get these kids. I'm going to scare them real good. And just like, like a curmudgeon guy who's, these kids are clearly giving him like, all the business because they each have like five beers, right? It's like, fuck these kids. I'm going to scare them real good.
The funny part was you open and close that fucking door. Like, I don't know how many times, like five times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did he's like, and then he did it again. Like, okay, dude, what the fuck? We don't need to see this 10 times. Stop.
I think it was just interesting having an adult scare kids, which is usually the other way around. So I think that's just a notable thing for me. Obviously, Canada. Oh, Canada. Or home and native land. Okay. I'm going to say one piece. I'm going to say the other piece of it, because I'll go into my low points then. They gave Hollis a girlfriend. Now, if you think about what Hollis looks like, right?
Which one's Hollis?
The guy with the mustache.
Oh, yeah. All right. The fat guy.
Didn't give him a fat girlfriend.
No, they didn't.
And, you know, that's kind of like, that's the stereotype, right?
She wasn't the big girlfriend, but she had a big personality, for sure. She was right. like the party lady of the group.
Right. And but like I said, to give someone that looks like Hollis in the 80s a girlfriend like that, not very common.
Yeah, it's funny because there was like a nerd and then like a clown, and he was neither of those as the fat guy, which is like almost always what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. He was kind of like the nice guy.
Right. Yeah. He was just kind of like generic guy number one.
Right. So I found that interesting. Now, to go into my low points, somehow also Howard had a girlfriend. And he was a complete asshat to everyone. He was the class clown that just wasn't funny in the least bit.
Well, this is also like mining town USA. Like,
I know.
What else are you going to do?
I know. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, I could see him not having a girlfriend, but he was awful. I think that another low point is essentially if you said, "Oh, those Duke boys got into some trouble," I would have believed you with the music choices they had.
Yeah, this is 81, man. It was all...
Because they're like almost sliding, you know, get out of the mouth. Yeehaw!
They were literally doing that shit. They were like good old boys for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, got the black lung pop. Like, God, I would not want to work in a mine.
Yeah, no, mines would scare the shit out of me. Again, I'm uncomfortable being underground.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously dances, fuck dances, especially Valentine's Day dances.
I've never been to a dance in my life.
Yeah.
Never in school, never in hotel.
They suck. Playing in a mine. Like, okay, the rec room, sure. That makes perfect sense. Let's go into this dangerous mine where we have to wear breathing apparatus so we don't die. Hey, it's like a roller coaster. No, no, don't do it.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, I don't know. If you're like working in a steel mill, like, oh, come on, ladies, let's go tour the molten steel area with your, you know, like exposed skin. It sounds like a great, it's like, what are you doing? Why would you do that?
No, yeah, no. Tough guy ascot.
Come on, man.
He was hard to take seriously as a tough guy.
He wasn't a tough guy. He was a cool guy.
Well,
come on, man. There's a difference.
And we'll say this. We can say this for the remake, too. There is a lot of off-screen kills.
There's a few. But, I mean, most of them, at least we see, like, the initial thrust or the initial swing.
Yeah.
The second one is egregious, for sure.
Right. Right, but I'm just saying.
There's not a whole lot.
Well, especially in slashers, the whole idea is to see the kills.
Again, I mean, most of them we do, or at least we see leading right up to it, and then somebody will find the body. I mean, but like, we see the initial stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, I have the lost records of the guy, right? Of like, I don't have a record for him, so he must be dead. Can you look for me? Oh. This is
the days of paper records, man. Like, it would take months to do anything.
I know. But, like, her just, like, annoyance with it was just, like, disturbing.
Well, again, have you ever called people in, like, a government position and asked them to do their jobs? Mm-hmm. They are never happy about it.
There you go. That's what the low point is, government officials. That's what I have. What about you? What are your low points?
Don't cook snacks on an engine block.
What? That's where all the good grease is.
What the fuck are you guys doing? You were just in a bar that had a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Why are you cooking snacks in a junkyard off of an engine block?
Mm-hmm.
I was very fucking confused. Just like all the minor drama, right? Like, it's completely unnecessary. Like, it felt like it was just added to, like, pad out the film. Like, all of this, like, love triangle bullshit and, like, all this, like, it was, like, completely pointless. It was, like, a waste of everyone's time. it just took away from what they should have been focusing on. And then, like, I mean, yeah, they're Canadians. I got no problem with Canadians. Not a big fan of them, so. I don't think it needed to be like a running advertisement for Moosehead every 5 minutes.
What? Because there's like 50 bottles of it on the screen all the time.
And anytime anyone used a box in the film, it was a Moosehead box.
Mm-hmm.
even like the old laundry lady when she was like moving laundry was in a fucking moose head box. Like, dear God, is that like how much moose head do you consume as a town? But you use the boxes for everything.
I mean, you know, maybe this it's a law in Canadian cinema in 1981.
I guess. yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
All right, so this week we're going to do heart-shaped boxes, because there is heart-shaped boxes in all these movies. Imagine that. And
oh, man, we're talking about Nirvana now? Sweet.
Yeah, heart-shaped box. Which is actually in the Nirvana song, a uterus. But no, we're not talking about uteruses. We're talking about, like, heart-shaped candy boxes.
Okay.
So, yeah, number of heart-shaped candy boxes out of 10. Graveyard, what do you give My Bloody Valentine from 1980?
You know, it putting it together with these movies drastically changes the score. If this was just a movie by itself, it probably been scored lower, but in comparison to the other two movies, it's a higher one. Like I said, it's that cover art that everyone knows, but not many people seem to have seen. It's still a good watch, so I will give it 7.5 heart-shaped boxes out of 10. How about you?
It's not bad. It's not great. It's all right. Six heart-shaped boxes out of 10.
But what would Mabel think? What would Mabel think about your six? I mean,
it's Mabel dead. She's been cooked in a dryer.
Yeah, she has.
She ain't thinking much of anything.
Exactly. Hey, she's the one that gave a real candy box to anyone.
Right. Post-mortem, she said candy.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have the wonderful, the delightful Valentine from 2001. Take it away.
We start off with everyone's worst fears, a 13-year-old middle school dance.
Yeah, I never went to one.
Well, then you're lucky. You're lucky. So essentially, the nerd, right, is asking all these girls that are popular to dance. One says maybe later, one says no, one says sure, and they immediately start making out. Because
as you do. Yeah.
Because, you know, she's the chunky girl, she's Buffalo, right? And gets caught, and she's like, oh, he's touching me, he's a pervert, yeah, and then kind of just, like, ruined his life.
Well, yeah, as we find out later on, that he got sent to a reform school.
Yes.
After that.
I'm saying it ruined his life.
Yes, for sure.
So now we're 13 years later, right? So gearing for Valentine's Day, and we get Katherine Heigl, and probably the earliest thing I've ever seen her in.
Yeah, as a brunette as well.
Yeah.
Like, not her typical blonde.
And not annoying.
She didn't have enough time. Spoiler.
Yeah. And she's like going on a date with Jason. Jason likes this. Jason likes this. Ooh, this bill's too high. Jason says, you got the salmon and the, you know, crab, you know, whatever appetizer. So you have to pay. All right, cool. Doesn't Jason get a kiss in front of the salad bar? No.
Yeah. After you just went Dutch, that's a brave statement.
Oh yeah, it very much is. So anyway, she's like, oh, I had to go to dinner. Now I have to go do autopsies. Yay. And so she's like getting, you know, going to the autopsy, you know, to the coroner learning, because she's like, I'm no doctor yet, but I think you need psychiatric help. She does autopsies. I don't think she has to do that. So anyway, she is working on the body. Someone kind of comes in and scares her, and she goes back, and lo and behold, gasp, the stomach is moving. He's breathing. Oh shit, it's a guy there to kill her. And he kills her. We'll get into that scene a little bit later.
We'll talk about it. I don't want to talk about it right now. We'll talk about it later.
Right. So anyway, then we kind of get, you know, meet up with the group of friends that were all there at the dance that told, you know, Jam. No, right. It ruined his life. So, you know, they're just, like I said, they're just typical, I don't know what you want to call them.
Shallow trust fund.
Like martini girls?
Attractive, relatively attractive young women with trust funds with, you know.
Right.
shallow taste in life.
Yeah. So we kind of get to go there day to day. We find out that, you know, Officer Judy Hicks is, you know, dating Adam, who's played by David Boreanaz. We have, I can't think of the real names.
Denise Richards.
We got Denise Richards. Yes.
It's the only one I know.
Yeah. The other names, but like, essentially they're going about this. We, you know, the quote fat girl, you know, is very
big
rich.
Boned. You don't have to.
It's air quotes.
Dear Lord.
Well, they.
Well, I can't. Nobody can see your fucking air quotes.
But she's not fat. I'm just saying that right now.
No, not at all. I mean, she wasn't even, fat. Even as fat. A younger, yeah, even as a younger kid, no, she was not. No. You know, quote unquote fat.
No, but that's how they viewed her, and that comes. I'm saying that.
I was a child. I understand how these things work.
Yeah,
I was a fat child. I'm a fat adult too, but I was a fat child then as well.
But yeah, I said that just kind of comes into play later, right? So, you know, eventually, sorry, I have to put that the kid JM, Jeremy, he bleeds from the nose when he's like upset. So anyway, like they find out that she's dead, and you know, the Adam comes back, it's like, oh, I'm a recovering alcoholic, I got this thing published, blah 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 blah. And they try to figure out what's going on here. And then they kind of get like Valentine's Day cards, but like Jim Carrey as the Riddler style Valentine's Day cards.
Those cards are cool. I don't care what you say.
But you know what I mean? Like the pop art, essentially.
Yeah.
All kind of signed like JM. Like JM, who's JM? They're trying to figure all this stuff out, right? Like, oh, you know, Denise Richards, you've been with like all the guys, you have gone through like the alphabet tremendously. It's like, so kind of figure it out. Dorothy's boyfriend is like, oh man, I got kicked out of my apartment, I have to live here now. Sure, make up, you know, make room in the house, you know, the guest house, right? Kind of find out what's going on there. One of the girls, she goes to like, I call it like the, let's call it the artsy tunnel of love art exhibit. Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, but she was like dating, or I should say seeing the artist.
Right.
And she was invited. Yes.
And then, you know, they go into the tunnel and like, ooh, who's this other lady that's watching this get it on? Oh, don't mind her. I said she can be here. What? And just like, oh, you're such a prude.
Well, you know, I don't know. I can't fucking stand any of these people. I don't know. I can't contain my distaste for like every single person in this film. Like they're all just terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you're dating a person. You haven't had the discussion about exclusivity. You don't know what their person's, you know, view on it is. Like right. You can't just assume shit and then get all upset when your assumptions are wrong. Like that's not how the world works.
No, it's not. But yeah, like I said, as you said, it's hard to like anyone, like boyfriends, the main cast, you don't like
everybody sucks. Yes. In this film, like everybody is an ass. They try to like appeal to your like empathy occasionally, but it's like, it does not outmatch the level of shitty things that these people do.
Right. Yeah. But in that tunnel of love, you know, let's call him Cupid Man, shoots her with arrows and she falls in the dumpster, blah, 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 blah.
And nobody notices because she was supposed to go on a plane trip to another city.
Until douchebag shows up at the party later on. It's like, she wasn't there.
But this is fucking days later. Like, mm-hmm. Your friends never like, hey, I'm here in LA. I made it. My plane touched down. Like, no one communicates. I thought like they're supposed to be best buds.
They are. But they're and not.
Like, yeah, you know, I haven't heard from her in days. Oh, I'm sure she's fine.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
They all have cell phones. I mean, this is early cell phone age, but they have them because they're rich trust fund kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just flimsy logic at best. So anyway, they're just trying to figure out like, oh, these all start kind of like accusing each other's boyfriends of like being the serial killer. And they're like, oh, Adam's got to be. It's like, I know him for like a long time. You like knew this guy for like a couple of weeks. You don't know his last name. Well, you just don't understand. You're just mad because the quote, you know, big bone girl got a cute boyfriend. You're just jealous. Dorothy's not a good person.
That's like every time they talk, I'm just like, God, I hate all of you. Mm-hmm. I hate every single one of you. There's not one person I fucking care about. And it's like this film, it's difficult because not only do I not give a shit about the protagonist, I'm not even rooting for them to die because the villain is so lame in this film. It's like it's not even worth it.
Yeah. So anyway, they eventually go to like, you know, the detective that's on the case, and then like, we'll figure it out. You know, we talked about, you think it's this Jeremy kid from that long ago. His parents died, blah, blah, blah. It can't be him. Oh, by the way, Denise Richards, I'm going to sexually assault you or accost you and put my hand on you because I think you're attractive and you, we clearly have sexual tension going on here.
Yeah. Even though they're like, I don't know, at least 20 years apart.
Yes. Yeah. And she definitely does not give off any interest to him. At all.
What's the formula? The formula is half your age plus 7.
Correct.
That's the youngest you should be dating. He is definitely beyond that number.
Yeah, it's fair. So anyway, like, you know, they're one of the girls, I don't remember which one, her creepy neighbor sneaks in and starts like smelling her underwear, and Cupid shows up and just
Gary.
Okay. Bashes his head in with like
it's fake, iron. Kate. How about a date, Kate?
Yeah.
It's Gary.
That's right. So all that's going on there. Oh, I forgot to mention that Dorothy's boyfriend was, you know, essentially embezzling money from the family to pretend to be like her 60-year-old dad on the phone. He gets killed.
You know, at first I thought that was Casper Van Dien. I was like, oh shit, he's in another movie. But I was like, oh no, wait, that's not him. Son of a bitch. The guy looks just like
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not him.
Correct. It is not him. But that's a fair assumption though. I think in 2001 you probably would have thought that if you'd seen it then.
Probably, yeah.
And you had no way of really looking
at it. Especially if Denise Richards in another film, I'd be like, oh fuck, but no.
Yeah. So anyway, then we have just like a party at Dorothy's house where everyone's dancing and all the usual party scene, right? This is a classic third act.
Classic, yeah, classic rich kid, giant party with hundreds of people that they don't even know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So, like, Adam kind of shows up kind of drunk. You know, the Lily's boyfriend shows up. Like, oh, she's not, she hasn't been there.
Who fuck invited that guy?
No one.
How did he get there? I don't understand how half these people just showed up.
No idea. Yeah, so anyway, they're like, hey, you guys should all stick around. I'll be there soon. Anyway, all that's going there. Douche nozzle from the speed dane takes, you know, Dennis Richards up to the room. He's like, all right, I got something to show you. My dick. She's like, oh, okay. And it ties her up and he's like, wax me. And it pours wax on him and then leaves him maybe to get killed. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, this scene is annoying too, right? Because like they just fucking met,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "Oh, I gotta show you something." He brings her up into the bedroom, and she lays down all seductively and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then like he takes his pants off, and then she's all like, "Ugh, I'm not into this anymore." I mean, she has every right to say that. I'm just saying, like, the scene plays like she's an asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like she's just an asshole that just goes by, you know, the whim of whatever she's feeling at that second. Like, I don't feel bad for anybody. I just don't like anyone in this film. They're just, every scene is like, the dialogue is so fucking painful. The flirting is like, I don't even know. It's like aliens fucking wrote it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't, every scene, it's like, God, I hate everyone here.
You know, maybe it's written by that 13-year-old nerd. All right, it's entirely possible.
No, it's like I really. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So anyway, all that's going on there, and then some other random chick shows up that like was Dorothy's boyfriend's ex-girlfriend, and she's like, "I'm here. You just blah blah blah. I'm gonna steal your stuff just to get killed." Like, she just shows up for that scene to get killed. That's the entire point.
Right. Yeah. She shows up. Saying, oh, the necklace you're wearing that you got from Valentine's Day from the dude is my necklace that he stole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Then she dies.
Yep.
That's like, that's it. That's her whole purpose.
That's the only scene she's in. Yeah, that's great. Anyway, then Paige goes into the somehow. No one at the hot tub.
Right. Like, yeah, you're at some like crazy rich fucking party. Everybody's fucking lit up.
Valentine's Day?
Yeah, there's going to be people in a fucking hot tub. There's probably going to be a line.
Right. There's going to be people boning in the hot tub.
Yeah, like the sauna, too. Like, yeah. There's nobody in this whole area somehow.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, she gets attacked with the guy who had the killer with who has a drill. He closes the lid on, starts drilling holes, drills into her. He's like, okay, this is taking too long. And he just throws the drill into the hot tub, blowing, quote, the fuse. And well, all the hot power goes out in the entire house.
Okay, yeah. Again, you know, I always have a problem with this because it's one of those things, like, this has been disproven, like, a long time. Like, every, like, power tool device has, like, it'll short out before it'll kill you.
Correct.
And two, if the fucking grid that you get the power from detects that kind of shit, that's going to trip the fucking breaker or blow the fucking fuse.
Not the entire house.
No, yeah, not the whole house. That's why circuit breakers are on separate fucking switches.
And fuses are separate, yes.
Right, yeah. So, like, one, yeah, well, not got the whole house, and two, it will not kill any. But they always do that, like, throw the toaster in the fucking bathtub. Like, it wouldn't kill anybody.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, but they need an excuse for everyone to leave. So they did that. So, you know, I guess, who do you want to call, or Kate? Do you want to call Kate Ermaine protagonist?
I don't care. It's like, I don't like anybody. They try to like bump up her empathy, but she's just as shitty as everybody else.
Right. Yeah. But she's like, oh, I got to call a detective. Like, oh, I hear a phone ringing. Oh, shit. It's a really bad head of the detective in the pond. He's dead. He killed off screen.
Right. And yeah, his phone is miraculously left on the shore.
Yeah.
Undamaged.
And then, yeah, it's basically then just Dorothy and Kate left with an Adam. Like, oh, it's got to be him. You know, I hate you. You just all this shit. And then, like, you know, we have the third act. Like, hey, let's pretend to be like Stu Mocker and you know, Billy from Scream and determine who's really the killer, who's not, all the stuff. And, you know, Kate accuses Adam of being the killer, but he's being kind of drunk and creepy and weird. So, you know, there's that. Eventually the killer comes out with a mask. They fall, you know, attacks Kate. They fall on the stairs. The killer gets up and then gets shot like 6 times by Adam. Pulls off the mask, and it was Dorothy the entire time. And then we have 3 different endings of 3 different hugs. They're all the same scene. Confessing that she's like, hey, I love you. I've always loved you. And gasp, his nose starts to bleed, proving it's Jeremy all along. Because with plastic surgery and exercise, boom.
And then I don't understand that ending. I don't get it. What is that supposed to mean?
Because she's the only one that said, maybe I'll dance with you later at the dance.
Right?
That's why he didn't kill her.
I mean, okay, I get that. But, like, why did Dorothy get nosebleeds when she was killing people?
He put Dorothy in the costume. There's actually a deleted scene where he knocks her out and puts her in that costume. That deleted scene is very crucial to the movie.
Because he shoots her as she's attacking Kate.
I'm aware.
How does an unconscious person attack someone?
I don't know.
I have no doubt that scene exists, but it exists for a different version of the film.
Mm-hmm.
In this version of the film, it was Dorothy the whole time.
Yes.
So I don't understand the ending. What does that mean?
That somehow,
okay, he's Jeremy. Okay. What does that have to do with the rest of the film? I don't understand.
He's the killer the entire time.
No, he's not.
Well, that's the implication, is he is the killer the entire time. Okay, so just think of it this way. Halloween H2O already came out, right? And the idea of resurrection, of putting different masks on someone else, and then they're like not knowing what to do. So like the logic assumption here is that Dorothy was knocked unconscious, dressed up in the costume, and then woke up, and then proceeds to attack Kate for some unknown reason. Only in that moment was she the killer.
And that's stupid.
It is stupid. This is why people don't like this movie.
You can't like sub in deleted scenes. If there was like a director's cut or something,
mm-hmm.
okay. But if there's just a deleted scene, it doesn't. You can't incorporate that as saying that's canon.
The writers have said it. I don't think anyone cared to make the director's cut, unfortunately.
I'm just saying, like, it doesn't make sense.
Right. I mean, it could have been, they were both the killers their entire time. One, that's why one had nosebleeds, one didn't. Because Dorothy had reasons to dislike them all, too, I guess. I don't know. They're all pieces of shit.
I know, but I'm just so lost. Like, this whole fucking film. Because, again, like, she was around as a kid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
She said that she had met his parents.
Mm-hmm.
How would the parents not have mentioned that they went to school together? Why wouldn't the parents mention that he has a different fucking name?
Right.
It doesn't make any, none of this makes any sense. I'm like, I was trying to put it together. I'm trying to logically understand, because she talks about meeting his parents. She knows what their professions. Like, again, like she knows where they were from.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
It's almost like they had two different endings and picked one that made the least sense.
And that's fine, but then you can't go back and say, oh no, it was him the whole time. No, it wasn't. You can't do that. You can't just pick and choose what you think is more interesting. That's not what you fucking filmed.
Right.
Like, I have to go by what you put on the film and what you put out, which is that Dorothy was the killer.
Uh-huh.
So what's the point of him bleeding at the end?
To show it was him all along.
But it's not.
I'm aware. Like I said, I watched this a lot, and I looked at a lot of things before this, too. Just like,
yeah, I was like, again, at the end of it.
It didn't make sense in 2001.
Like probably at least a good 10 minutes going, what the fuck? Like, how does any of this make any sense? It doesn't, like, there's deliberate things that were said, and like they would have fucking known.
Yeah, it's they fixed it in the DVD release. It's on the special features of the DVD. That's the only way I know this information. It's from originally buying the DVD and watching all that shit.
That's fucking bullshit.
It is.
I think it's like they know it didn't make any fucking sense, so they're trying to like save their logic hole by trying to make shit up.
Right. It's that. So essentially what happened is it came out in theaters. People said this makes no sense. They released the DVD, fixing it, then did nothing else after that.
Right. Like if you knock someone out and put a fucking mask on them and then they wake up after being unconscious, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Clearly go attack someone.
Yeah. Like, why the fuck am I wearing a mask?
Right. Like, you take it off.
You're not going to go, oh, murder. No, you're not. No,
right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
Oh, my God. This movie just pissed me off. Like, I was okay. It's just a generic PG-13 movie until the end. And I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean?
Mm-hmm. It's awful.
Yeah. Again, I just.
So obviously those were your first thoughts on this.
Yeah, it didn't make any fucking sense, and I hated it.
No, like I said, if you are someone that doesn't have the DVD and you watch this through a streaming service, you're not getting this shit.
Period. Well, I'm saying, if you have to watch some special features thing where somebody explains a dumbass logic hole, they just made that shit up to explain the logic hole. That's not what they actually did.
Right.
I know for a fact you fucking Valentine's writers. I know you're full of shit.
Uh-huh.
Come at me. Come at me with your defense. I want to see a real Valentine's defense.
Exactly. Release the Valentine's Day director's cut. Oh, wait, there's like five of them.
That's part of the problem. Put it together. Make it make sense to me.
There you go. I'll start with my highlights, though, if you'd like.
Sure. Go for it.
The soundtrack. I love the soundtrack.
Are you serious?
Are you kidding me? It has Static X, Linkin Park, Disturbed, Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's I love fucking it. All that's horse shit.
Especially when it came out. I loved it.
It's like, okay, there's like A tier new metal horse shit, and then there's like the B tier. And that's everything in this
film. Powerman 5000, come on.
It's horse shit. Not even good horse shit. It's bad. It's second wave. It's the shit of like people are like, hey, people are listening to this, and this seems to be like the scene thing to do. Let's like make a band and jump in the scene. That's what they did.
I own the soundtrack, sir. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying this is millennial trash.
Denise Richards. Before she seemed dirty.
Denise Richards was never good in anything.
And if you learn all that stuff, essentially it's alluded to that the killer wins.
That's horseshit.
Till for Valentine's Day, Valentine's 2, which I don't, did it happen? I don't think it happened. Might have happened. I don't recall. That's it. How about you?
Again, I did like the stupid Valentine's cards. They gave up after a while. There's only like two of them, but they were funny. I thought they were good. The condolence cards. Those are hilarious to me. He sent like cards that said like too bad, so sad.
Someone's dead.
To like their parents and shit. Like, wow. Like that's fucking cold. But it was funny to me. Because they just seemed like so nonchalant about it. Like, oh yeah, we got a card from apparently the killer. It says too bad, so sad. Isn't that terrible?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rich like rich stereotypical wasp lady. Yes, that's terrible. And again, they all deserve to die. I mean, right? I don't like any of these people, but like, again, I was thinking about it. Like, man, I wasn't even rooting for the killer. The killer was lame too.
Yes, he was.
Like just lame. Yes, she was. She's just lame. Like, what knife are you using? Oh, just some generic knife I pulled out of the kitchen. Like, don't even have a killer knife. Come on. And there was like a bow and arrow for one scene, never used again. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, there's like so many scenes. Okay, we're just going to go right to the bad. Okay, so I'm done with the good. Now we're going to the bad. Like, one, okay, children are terrible. Like, that's just a fact.
Yes.
They solidified that at the beginning of this. Now, the fucking scene when they're in the fucking autopsy hall, like, I was, like, I had to pause it and think about how dumb this was. Now, she is about to cut into a corpse, right? Yes. She's scared by the dead eyes of the corpse, so she puts a sheet over the head, right? But the belly is still exposed. She hears a noise. She goes to investigate. She comes back. She goes to cut, and then the stomach moves because it was breathing, and she screams and runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, you know, and then she knocks into the closet, and the closet opens up, and the body falls out, right? Now, the killer's logic in this scene is to expose your naked stomach to a person with a fucking scalpel and hope that they notice you breathing and don't cut you open?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fucking idiot plan is that?
He's not a smart killer.
Like, you already have a knife when she's, like, concentrating on cutting the corpse, just stab her in the back. Why are you trying to lay there like, oh, I'm not a corpse, look at my belly moving. What the fuck are you thinking?
What?
And that's the first one. That's the first kill. Like, how stupid are you if this is how you start your killing spree? Like, by nearly almost getting gutted and dying before it even started.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. I was just, like, blown away by the stupidity of this scene. Dating hell. I've been there. It sucks. I mean, these people are like the worst. You know, like you get all these fucking people who think they're like, you know, the best thing in the world, that they're royalty, and you need to like somehow serve them. Like they're trying to talk to you so that like you have to like get down on one knee and kiss the ring because they've, you know, decided that you're worthy of a hey. These are the worst kind of of people, the quote unquote protagonists of this film are like the most shallow, shitty people, like treating everyone like crap.
Yes.
Yeah, the maggot chocolate. Wow, that was gross. I don't know how you get live maggots inside of chocolate. Like, I'm pretty sure they would have died before you bit into it.
Are you saying they need to breathe?
I'm just saying,
like, are you saying that you can't dip maggots in a nougat that's hot, let it cool, and then cover it with melted chocolate?
Right. I'm saying, like, they would have been dead, and she would have ate them and would not even have fucking noticed, because Correct. It's like there's still a shit ton of chocolate and filling anyway.
You're not going to taste them.
Right, exactly. I'm just like, that's stupid. I mean, the whole, you know, this is 2001. We get the whole magic internet, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like type, type, type. You get anything you want, except when it's like, oh, I'm looking for JM.
Strange smells.
Right. It's like no information found, but like everything else is on there. You know, of course, we get some picture enhancement. Of course, it's 2001 magic computers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fucking like flirting in this film. I wrote down here, it was either written by nerds or aliens, right? Like, nerds that have never been in any kind of, like, conversation with a real woman before, or, like, aliens that are unfamiliar with human behavior. Like, that's, like, these people are not communicating as regular humans communicate.
Why not both?
Oh, my God. It was like, what are you people saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then the ending, again. I was like, I was so fucking confused. I was like, what is happening? What does this mean? Because, like, the belly exposed in the beginning
is quite hairy.
No.
No? What are you going to say?
It's not a ripped six-pack ab dude belly.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So how would it possibly be the guy? So, there's so many scenes I was thinking of, like, she knows his parents. Like, how could it possibly be him? I was like, there's so many things I'm sitting there like, none of this makes any sense.
Whatever. That's fair.
Yeah, and then, like, why is he a fucking alcoholic? If he's getting what he finally wants out of life, why is he an alcoholic?
Correct.
There's so many stupid things in this film that don't make sense. You're like, you look back on it and you're like, what the fuck does any of this mean? Like, what's the point? it's just a movie. Yeah, it's like, I feel like they've decided to film like three movies at the same time and they just like cut them up with each other. And like, there's scenes from one movie and another movie that don't jive with the, yeah, that's what it feels like. It just feels bad. That's all I got. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree, kids. kids are the worst. And like I said, even their treatment of both of them, right? Of Dorothy and what they were calling her, like calling her Buffa, like, fuck you kids. No. I understand kids are pieces of shit.
Sadly enough, in my grade, there was a girl that they called Buffalo.
That's just absurd. And also then, of course, ruin the kid's life. You know, Jason does not like this movie. Jason wishes he could get his money back and his time back. Jason is the best thing ever. The art love tunnel, the entirety of it, with the art scene, everything with it is awful.
Artist using visual medium, like semi-performative art.
Yeah.
Which is great for, like, yeah, people like trying to hang out with a scene vibe. But yeah, the guy doesn't really have any real talent.
How much money do you think that costs to make that art love tunnel with different scenes on different clips rotating through with all those screens?
Well, I would sound. Say the size of those screens in 2001.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's an awful lot of money.
Right.
Yeah, it's just awful. You know, so, okay, just for, every time I have the wife watches this movie, I just say, wax me, because she finds that guy super annoying. It's like, oh, that guy. I'm like, right.
Oh, that guy. Like, she fucking knew what was going on.
Yes.
She, you know, he's like, let's go upstairs. She's like, okay. And then again, they go in the room. They're all making out. She sits in the bed all, like, seductive, flirty. Like, yeah, he probably shouldn't have whipped it out immediately. But, like, she knew what they were fucking going up there for.
Well, once again, a bedroom, not occupied. A sauna, not occupied. And the hot tub, not occupied at this party.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that she owed him anything. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to say, like, she went up there knowing full well what they were going to do and then act like, oh, my God, how dare he? Like, get over yourself.
Right.
She had every right to leave. I'm not saying she should have stayed there and fulfilled his fantasy in any way. I'm just saying, like, come on now.
I mean, I don't know what she thought was going to happen.
Right. I don't know. Like, was he going to, like, fucking play a violin for you? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. Of course, the handsy cop. Hey, your friends are dead. We're trying to find this murderer. Hey, we got to talk about the sexual tension here.
Yeah. My favorite part was like, yeah, the guy we thought was the murderer, we had to let him go. I'm on my way to the party to make sure you're all safe. I'm not going to call any backup whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I die, the cops aren't even going to care.
Correct.
Great plan, Mr. Detective.
Well, you know, maybe because of his actions, maybe he called for backup. Remember, was like, fuck off.
I don't know.
Hey, guys, I'm going to get this totally piece of ass here.
Whoa.
That's his mentality. That's everyone's mentality towards Denise Richards, quite honestly, this entire movie.
Well, again, they're all like these vapid, shallow, shitty people. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, if you're going to act like a, you know, fucking shitty, shallow person, then who is going to fucking want to, you know, date you? Shitty, shallow fucking people. And that's what you're getting. And they're acting like, oh my God, I can't believe they're shitty and shallow. Like,
yeah,
you all are. You're all assholes. Get over yourself.
Yeah. See, I don't know who this movie was made for. Was it made for the nerds like us that were 13 that were rejected and humiliated, maybe? Or is it made for, oh, look, these vapid people are good people. They don't deserve to die.
I don't know. It's one of those movies you don't know if it was made by someone who thought this is like how normal people act. You know what I mean? So like mm-hmm. Whoever made the thought that like this is how normal people act. This is how young, attractive women act with life. Right? Obviously incorrect. But like, and then you also get, oh, you know, this is, you know, the nerd, you know, getting his comeuppance or whatever, right? But like, they don't give you that directly.
No.
It's like you get like a scene at the end where his nose is bleeding. Like, okay. Like, he also fucking fell down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what if his nose is just bleeding from being smashed from falling down the stairs? Like, we get no evidence whatsoever that he is the actual person. I guess apparently you're watching fucking special features, maybe. No, it's bullshit. Like, there's no fucking way. That the only thing we get is like, oh, he's got a bloody nose. That's it? That's supposed to tell me the entire plot of the film? No.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
You didn't see that twist coming, though, did you? They got you.
Like, okay, if it was his fucking outfit, how come it fit her? He's like 2 feet taller than she is.
A little bit,
like
yeah.
Another foot wider, and it fit her perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
And like, how did he have enough? Like, when was there time to put the outfit on? That's whatever. I'm sorry. It's fucking movies just pissing me off.
As it should. As it should.
Okay. So, anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. So, number of heart-shaped boxes out of 10. I guess
you can go first.
I'm trying to. I mean, a frustration scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to give it like 2.15. I mean, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's sucked.
Oh yeah, this is an awful movie. This is. You know, as we discussed, this is the time frame where you stop kind of liking horror movies.
This is the kind of shit, yeah, it's not even, like, good.
Right.
There's no, like, interesting things happening here. The killer and the victims both suck. The mm-hmm. plot sucks. The kills suck. Mm-hmm. It's too fucking long. It's like these vapid, shallow people like talking about their lives. It's bullshit.
It's no wonder this faded into memory really damn fast. I've watched this a number of times. It's just like, this is one of those things like you talk about, like when we were watching a movie, like how much we want to reach for our phone, right? This is a be on your phone horror movie because you don't have to pay attention because nothing matters.
I was paying attention. I mean, yeah, I was bored out of my mind, but I was paying attention because I was trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. It's like, there's so many like fucking plot holes you can drive fucking freight trains through. And I'm like, am I missing something?
No,
is there some scene that I missed that's supposed to explain this stuff?
No,
I know. I'm just saying, like, that's why I was interested, because I was still very confused.
Yeah. It was your first time, so that's fair. Like I said, I probably saw this in theaters, quite honestly.
I'm very sorry.
I know. And I own a DVD and the soundtrack. So
I'm sorry.
That all being said, it's a shitty movie. It's really, really bad. This is like, it almost made it to the list of like, I've seen this so many times, I don't want to watch it again. But I did watch it, obviously. But I will give this 3 heart-shaped boxes out of 10. You know, just because it gets that 0.85 more because of the soundtrack for me.
So. The soundtrack sucked. I think I lost points for the soundtrack.
But this is Rob Zombie and, you know, Orgy and all that stuff.
I like Orgy's okay.
Yeah.
Disturbed?
This is like Disturbed, like wanting to get on soundtrack so they just started.
I don't care. Disturbed is one of those bands that, like, if anyone ever plays them in my presence, I don't like you. I do not like them.
Yeah. But
and that's like, it felt like the whole soundtrack was just bands that I would hate you if you played them.
That's fair.
All right, moving on. So now we're going to My Bloody Valentine from 2009. Sometimes 3D, sometimes not 3D. It was filmed in 3D.
Yeah, it was.
But other than that, it doesn't matter. Now,
I did see it in 3D in theaters.
I'm sure that was awesome.
No,
did that eye pop right out of the screen?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
So we get a slightly changed up version of the plot of the first one. Harry Warden exists.
Mm-hmm.
A mine accident happens,
mm-hmm.
to where the miner's son, again, this is still kind of the same characters. The miner's son was there and was like the foreman guy that was supposed to like, whatever, clean the methane out or something.
Leave the lines, yeah.
Right. So he didn't do that apparently correctly or something. Mm-hmm. Big explosion happens. Everybody dies except for Harry Warden, but he doesn't eat the people this time.
No.
But they were trapped in an air pocket, and he apparently murdered all the other miners there because they were taking up air.
His air. And,
yeah, his air. Yeah. So, like, apparently he did, like, you know, air math and figured out that he wouldn't be alive if all of them stayed there. So he killed them all except for him so that he could survive. And I guess he was right because, like, he was literally, like, unconscious in a coma when they finally got to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's true. They all would have died if he didn't kill them. Yes. I'm not saying that's okay. Whatever. So then we fast forward a year in the future. He was in a coma. He wakes up from the coma and literally murders everything in sight.
It becomes Michael Myers, essentially.
Yeah. Much worse. Much worse. Everyone is dying. In Halloween 2, there was, like, a whole 4 people left in the hospital. And he killed all 4 of them.
Yeah.
But in this film, there's like, I don't even know, 100 dead bodies? Like, I don't know. How many fucking dead people were there in that hospital?
Well, you don't know that if you're trapped in a mine and you're in a coma, you wake up with superhuman strength and able to kill lots of people. It's right. Just a fact.
Right. So, yeah, like, everybody gets killed. He was, like, trying to kill the guy, the kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was like trying to have a fucking party or whatever.
Yep.
Because they went to the mine to drink. Kind of sort of like mocking what happened in the first film where they all went to the mine to drink. So they like all went to go hang out and drink. And then Harry comes back and like literally murders his way through the entire like teenage gang that's down there. And then goes to attack the kid, you know, who supposedly didn't bleed the lines and caused them to die. And then like he gets shot a bunch of times by like the sheriff, Tom Atkins. And I don't know who the other old guy was.
You've seen him in lots of other Canadian TV shows.
He was like, they were like best buds, and I think he was supposed to know who he was, but I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they like shot him, and then he kind of like ran off, and then that's it. They just say, okay, that's whatever. That's the end of that story. So then we fast forward 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the miner's son kind of did the same thing where he left and then came back 10 years later. You know, he had whatever. We don't know what he did those 10 years, and he came back. But he came back because his dad died and right. left him the mine because he was the only child.
Right.
And so he's just coming back to sign the papers to sell the mine because he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Yep.
So that's why he's coming back. It's kind of like most of the plot of the first one is now over.
Oh yeah, the first movie happens in the first 15 minutes.
Right, like that is like the whole thing is like just sped up and happens in the first like 15 minutes, and then now we get like a new story.
Right.
So yeah, he comes back to town. Oh, it's Friday. I thought we were signing the papers today. No, we're not signing them until Monday. So now he has a whole weekend to spend in the town. So of course, the first thing he does is try to reconnect with his old girlfriend because the love triangle still exists.
Except now, this time he's the cop.
Right. Yeah. Sure. So this time, instead of Axel taking over as the foreman when he left, Axel becomes a cop and then marries his lady friend. But again, he was gone for 10 years. So they were married and they have a child. So like, you know, he comes back and kind of sort of tries hitting on her again. And it's like, she's married with a kid.
Well, being married doesn't stop Axel.
I know. I'm just saying. But yeah, Axel is like cheating on his wife with like, I don't know.
Her employee.
She feels like she's like fucking 16. Like it's disturbingly young.
16 and pregnant. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, she's like, oh, I don't need a Valentine's Day present. You already gave me one. I'm pregnant. Like, I was surprised he didn't murder her right there. I was like, is that where this movie is going? Because that's what it felt like at that moment.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, at this point, of course, people start dying. So he goes
without
to stay.
Dances. Without yeah, dances.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, the whole point of the Valentine's part of this movie gets cut out already.
Oh, like, yeah.
There's no reason for it to be called Valentine because it never comes back.
Correct.
The only attachment it has is that when he kills people, he sometimes cuts their hearts out, puts them in a heart box, and gives it to people. But it literally, there's nothing, there's no Valentine's dance, there's no like Valentine's decorations. They don't even say if it's Valentine's Day. that's it. That's the only connection.
Right.
So there's like a scene where we get this brave woman that acts for like what, like a whole 10 minutes fully nude?
Fully naked. Nude.
Running around. I mean, we're talking like fighting people off, like running through parking lots. I mean, like fully nude, like for like 10 whole minutes. Anyway, so the trucker guy gets killed by the miner guy. She's not a hooker, but I don't know what she was. But
I recorded it and I paid her, but she's not
the nude lady. The hotel proprietor.
Yeah.
She gets murdered. Like a whole bunch of people get fucking murdered. Right. So they're like, oh, you know, shit. Like, you know, people saw it was this minor guy. So it's like Harry Warden's back. Oh my God.
Yep.
Right. So they go back to the sheriff, you know, Tom Atkins, who's now retired. They're like, well, okay. Like Harry Warden's back, you know? And he's like, he's not back. They're like, what do you mean? He's like, he's dead. Are you sure? Yeah, I'll take you to the grave. Like, we killed him. We tracked him down and killed him in secret so that nobody knew about it, but we knew he was dead. So they go to the grave, and of course, the grave is empty.
Animals must have gotten to you. Right.
Yeah, so the grave is very, like, very much looks like it was just dug up. But yeah,
like 6 inches buried. Yes.
Right, yeah. Right. So, yeah, like, yeah. So he's supposedly dead. Okay, well, who's doing the killing? Like, Harry came out of the grave, or it's somebody else that's, you know, pretending to be Harry or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, murder, murder, murder. Like, the wife and the girlfriend are both working at the same grocery store. The girlfriend gets murdered, her heart gets cut out, and there's like a, he writes a message on the wall, right? They go into her house, like, the kid doesn't get killed, but he, like, witnesses things, whatever, like, Tom Atkins both go in the house.
Well, it has to happen because the babysitter gets put into
the dryer
right, to have a melted cooking scene.
Right. And there's, like, a bizarre scene later where they try to, like, imitate the whole, like, you know, remember in the first movie where she's pulling on ropes and their clothes would come down?
Yep.
There's, like, a weird scene where they tried to, like, bring that back, but they didn't give you any explanation what was happening.
So, remember, like, this from the first one?
Right. Like, if you didn't watch the first movie, you'd have no idea what that was or what's happening.
Correct.
That's the only reason I'm like, that's like a deep cut. Like, how would you know that? Anyway, so back and forth. So basically, you know, the cop calls his wife, like, oh my God, it's the son guy, the minor guy. He's going to kill everybody. He was locked in a mental institution for the last 10 years, you know, and he just got out. And then, of course, he's telling her, like, oh, he's crazy. He's going to tell you anything because he doesn't want you to come back to me. So they're basically pointing the finger at each other. And then they're talking. And, of course, it's the classic slip up, right, where he's like, how did you know that? Only the killer would know that. You know, I think he slipped up saying that. The same note that you got was the same note that was written on the wall in blood when the one lady was killed. And she's like, how did you know that?
I never told you that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did. You told me. He's trying to gaslight her. And, you know, of course, it doesn't work. So she, like, yeah, she's got a gun. She doesn't shoot him. But anyway, so he then transforms. So it's the son of the miner this time, the son of the owner of the mine that becomes Harry Warden this time. And we get, you know, kind of like he runs away, puts on his miner outfit, and then comes back. And they kind of have like a showdown, right? And it's the same kind of ending where there's like a cave in, and he gets shot a few times by the cops, but he does get away.
Well, he escapes from the rescue crew.
Right, he escapes from the rescue crew and goes deeper into the mine and the dangerous area, the abandoned mine, and they just choose not to follow. That's it.
And yet the cheating scumbag sheriff lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. And his girlfriend is dead, so problem solved.
Exactly. Exactly.
Problem solved. So that's it. My first impression is like, what the fuck is the point of this movie? One, it's like they didn't try to remake the first movie. They like recapped it in the first 15 minutes and then they like made another movie that had no connection to Valentine's Day in any way.
Well, the purpose of this movie was 3D.
Well, I get it. But like this is what I assumed the first one was. Like, how do you connect Valentine's and a minor together?
Yes.
And this is like what I expected it to be. Like, they don't really go together at all.
No, not at all.
And that's what I expected the first one to be. The first one at least put it together in a way that makes sense.
Right.
This one doesn't even try. It's like, hey, look at us putting the pickaxe through the screen for like the 10th time. Isn't it great? Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I saw this in theaters in 3D.
Where are these fucking theaters are just like raking in your idiot money?
They are.
Come on in, keep watching these shit movies.
Hell yeah. Maybe I own this on 3D on DVD with 3D glasses. I'm not saying I do.
What is wrong with you?
I like bad movies.
Apparently.
No, I like, this doesn't have anything like, so separate from the show. Like, I'd say the wife watches like in December and she's like, I forgotten how generic this movie is. I'm like, it's quite generic. It really is. And you know, it's not something that you like it that sticks with you. You know what I mean? Like, if you watch it every couple of years, it's so generic. You kind of forget like all the stupid shit that happens. I don't watch this very often, but this is another one like you could put your phone on and not pay attention to this movie. Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like I said, it's after the first 15 minutes, like, the plot is over.
Right.
It's now just, like, you know, random minor killings, and that's it.
Yep. And I'm like, haha, did you see the one from 28 years ago? No? We did. Haha.
Yeah, they had, like, again, there was, like, a couple of dumb, like, throwbacks, and that was it.
Yep.
Yep. Like, how about the plot? How about you bring the fucking plot back, idiot?
Plot? This movie doesn't have
a plot. I don't care about clothes on ropes. Give me a plot.
This movie doesn't have a plot, sir.
It does, but it's over in the first 15 minutes.
Exactly. Do you want me to go first with my highlights?
Hey, sure. Why don't you go first?
Oh, of course, Tom Atkins.
Yeah. The best actor in the film, which is not saying anything because he is, like, phoning it in.
I think Tom Atkins should have been in the original, quite honestly.
Well,
he deserves to be the better of the two.
They paid him big money to be in it, and he, like, sat in a bar and drank for half of it. So.
Yeah. You say what you will. There's a lot gorier kills.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And at least it wasn't a rehash of the original, like, fully shot for shot, like Psycho or
I think that might have been better than what this was.
I mean, it's entirely possible, but, you know, I mean, this is on par with, like, you know, The Fog.
Yeah, there's a way to, like, remake something and keep it interesting and fresh. This is not it.
No, you're correct. This is not the way to do it. But like I said, at least it wasn't a complete rehash. So that's all I got for highlights. people get upset if I don't say Jensen Ackles either, but, you know, as a highlight.
I will say, I don't know if this is number one, but it's got to be up there with the number of off-screen slasher murders.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, the hotel scene in the beginning of the film alone, like, Harry Warden kills, like, I don't, like, a fucking 100 people.
Yeah.
There's corpses everywhere and blood everywhere. Somehow no one stopped him and no one did anything about it at the time. He somehow murdered every single being in the fucking hospital, still got his minor outfit and left.
He's got coma strength.
Apparently. Like, if you're in a coma for a year, you're waking up and falling down. Like, you are not murdering anything.
Your muscles are in atrophy.
Exactly. I'm like, what is happening with this guy? Anyway, Tom Atkins, again, he's the best thing in this movie, which is not saying much.
Right.
I will say, at the end, there was one scene I thought was done well. And that was, it doesn't make any sense that the guy runs away and then changes into his minor outfit and then comes back knowing they have guns and walking slowly towards them. I mean, it's a genius move. But when he is walking down the hallway and, like, doing the thing from the first one where he was, like, smashing the lights with his pickaxe as he was walking along, and it does, like, the kind of flashes where, like, when he breaks the light bulb, he kind of flashes into the old miner uniform.
Mm-hmm.
On those flashes. That, I think, was done well. I think that was an interesting shot. They did a good job with that. I think the performance, because they must have had two people do it, right?
Oh,
and they put them together. Interesting. And it was just like a flash, like a, you know, like a camera flash, but it was there. I thought that shot was done well, but that's about it. I stopped caring. Like, for a while. So, like, I mean, yeah, I got some on the list here, but I stopped adding to the list. I was like, I just don't care. But yeah, it was like, one, they changed the plot, the immediate plot of the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they skipped the plot, and it was over in 15 minutes. I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, what happened? Like, what? Like, it's a remake. It's not a reboot. It's not a continuation. It's a remake. Why are you, like, ending the film after 15 minutes and then restarting another film after? It's like, it's so bizarre. The CGI with the 3D goddamn shots.
Uh-huh.
It is, like, again, that pickaxe comes through the screen, I want to say, like, 10 fucking times. Like,
oh, easily.
It's like over and over and over and over again.
Even just the one kill with the old guy, when he has it on the ground, we see the end of the pickaxe three times just there.
Right. Okay, there's the classic scene of like, oh, we're driving, so we're going to have to pull up behind a truck with a pipe in it, mm-hmm. and the pipe's going to come through the windshield and go all the way through the car. Like, every 3D film has that same scene. I don't know why they keep doing the same scene. But they do. Every film, I don't know why that's like, the go-to trombone. Do it.
Yep.
Again, there's just so many bad CGI, so many unnecessary 3D shots. I understand that it's shooting in 3D and that was the whole shtick to get people to go watch it, but it's just dumb. I'm like, what the fuck did I write? But the cheap throwbacks, as I was talking about, like the dryer and the fucking pulling on a rope, you know, with the clothes. Like, there's so many like goofy throwbacks. So, like, if you didn't just watch the first one, like, even if you had seen it a while ago, you're not going to remember that shit.
No, no way.
Right. Like, you're not going to remember it unless you just watched it like the day before, which is literally what I did. I was like, yeah, these are deep cuts, man. Like, what do you think is people going to fucking...
Let alone 28 years apart. Yeah.
Right. Like, you think you got that big of My Bloody Valentine fans? They're going to notice that shit. Like, one movie came out in 1981, never had a sequel.
If it was that good, there would have been an entire franchise. Yeah.
Like, it didn't even make a fucking franchise when every shitty horror movie in the early 80s had a fucking franchise. Like,
yes.
It's not that big of a fandom, dude.
No. Yeah.
And then you make this fucking hacky, overused fucking bullshit as the sequel. And then like, hey, look, we're calling back to the first one. Like, these people hate you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I stopped at that.
You stopped. Point.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, we're right on point here. 3D, Austrian Kills, such a generic ass slasher. Like, this is way more forgettable than the first one.
Oh, for sure.
Way more forgettable.
Like I said, the first one was a little bit of a unique thing because it's like, you know, it isn't a mine. You know, mines are, well, to me at least, scary by nature.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, you know, there was a good reason to believe that the guy who was doing it was the actual miner guy.
Right. Yeah, this one's like, no.
Yeah, this film is like, you know, it's like, you know what's happening in the first 15 minutes. And after that, it's like, why are you still going?
Yeah. Now, first off, I'm not sure there's many movies where, let's call him the protagonist sheriff, gets his side piece pregnant and doesn't die.
Like, but the side piece does.
Right.
I was like, that was unfair. Like, I was like,
yes,
this guy gets away with all this shit. Like, his pregnant fucking side piece dies and he gets off scot-free.
He gets everything he wants because he's like, oh man, when Jensen Ackles was getting like potentially killed, he's like, I saved her. I was there for her. Like, you left him there.
Right.
You left him and he got fucked up because of it. Not only do you get the girl, now you have a side piece and a kid and the sheriff. Like, you get it all. You're a piece of shit.
Right. Fuck this guy.
Right. And he still lives. And, you know, I understand that, you know, they had to do the 3D shot, but poor Tom Atkins. You know.
Well, again, yeah, I'm sure they paid him a lot of money and he didn't have to do a whole lot.
I know, but he still had to have a 3D shot of the pickaxe in his jaw and his jaw being ripped off and thrown at us. That man is a national treasure of horror. You don't kill him like that. Yeah, and like I said, you talk about that poor woman that had to be naked for 10 minutes.
I know, that's a brave performance because she did a good job.
Yeah.
And again, people think you're good at something until you have to do it completely naked. Like,
yeah.
No fucking towel, no lighting, nothing to hide behind. You are just like standing there fucking naked. Nothing else there. But she was still going, you know, still sassy and still going. It was, again, kudos to her. You're acting naked. Because I'm sure that would be terrifying for a lot of people.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. It's got to be terrifying. But even in closed sets, I just can't fathom doing that.
Right. Like, that's one of the things they say. I know it's in a Stephen King book, but I don't remember where else it's from. But I know it's in one of the Gunslinger books. So where one of the characters has to fight naked. And you're really like, you don't know how good you are at in a fight, unless you have to fight naked, because you literally have nothing. You don't even have clothes. You are fighting with literally nature.
Yep.
That's when you find out if you're actually good at fighting in survival. That's the point.
But talk about another movie where you don't like anyone in the movie.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to, the wife, like she's married with a child, like trying to go for another dude. Like that's shitty. Fucking her husband is like playing out boning another lady. Like that's shitty.
Yep.
Like the dude coming back trying to steal the lady. Like he's been fucking gone for a decade and is now trying to swoop in and take his old high school girlfriend. Like that's shitty.
Yeah.
Like, the only guy that's okay is Tom Atkins and he just retired.
Yep. You want to take point? I'm retired.
Yes. No, I don't. This is your job. I'm just here as an advisor.
God. I mean, let's face it. We watched three movies with really shitty protagonists.
For real, man. There's like nobody. Like, again, there was people in the first, My Bloody Valentine that I care about. Like the dude with the mustache was awesome. But that was okay. Like, the people that were okay in that, they were, likable at least. But these other two, it's just like, God, all these people are shit.
Yeah. Yep. That's all I have to say for low points for this one. I could go on forever as well.
All right. So, number of heart-shaped boxes out of 10, Graveyard. What do you give My Bloody Valentine?
I do like this more than Valentine.
Okay.
Not by much, but I do like it more. Just because I didn't hate every moment of it. So I will give this 4.5 heart-shaped boxes out of 10. How about you?
Three point nine heart-shaped boxes out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to see that, like, when Jensen Ackles realized that he is the miner, him going through all these different things, like, because he was trapped in a cage. Like, he was trapped in the cage. That part was not imagined. Now, everything leading up to it, in the middle, yes, he did do it to himself, but it was just interesting, like, exposition flashback dump.
Let's say, like, there's no way you can tell.
No,
because like he witnessed a murder while he was trapped in the cage.
Right.
Like you were literally seeing it through his eyes. So it's like the whole film is told through an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
Until the end.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So it's like you can't believe anything you watch.
Right. For sure. Maybe that's what Valentine needed from 2001, is that shitty montage to explain everything.
Dude, there was like a million things they could have done to make it make sense, and they didn't do any of it.
Correct. It's a bad for the fact. So.
All right, anything else you want to add?
Nope, I'm good. Wrap us up.
All right, we have more Valentine's goodness next week. I hope you're ready. It's exciting times. Our Valentine's Day Spectacular continues with part two. This episode, we'll visit some of the Valentine's episode movies. I guess they're movies, but they're also episodes.
Yes.
From Into the Dark.
Yes.
They did have two Valentine's, and the both of them are in here, because why not?
Oh, yeah, we watched that show when it came out.
And a movie that is almost universally panned. I was trying to find a good review, and I could not find one. And that's Cupid, which came out just a couple years ago. But
boy.
Yeah. So strap in for adventures in love and horror. And remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked in the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.